You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation. When will Jesus return to the earth for his followers? Well, very few issues of our faith are more hotly debated by scholars and laymen alike than the rapture of the church, one of the first events in the end times calendar. What does God's Word have to say about that? Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, and in this study, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, is going to take us to the heart of the debate in 2 Thessalonians, beginning at chapter 1, verse 10. Let's get right to it by starting in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to study your word together. As we listen, Lord, help us to understand your great plan for the world and for our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's Dr. J. Vernon McGee with our continuing study of 2 Thessalonians 1 on Through the Bible.
Now, friends, we've come here to another one of the great prophetic chapters in the Word of God. Back in 1 Thessalonians, we called attention to the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 13. That has to do with the rapture of the church. And also, it had to do with the day of the Lord, too, and the great tribulation and the coming of Christ and glory to the earth. You find all of that in 1 Thessalonians, in the entire epistle. Now, in this epistle, in chapter 2 here, the emphasis is going to be actually on the Great Tribulation period. But we also are going to find one of the finest passages, I think, on the rapture of the church. Now, back in verse 10 of chapter 1 here of 2 Thessalonians, and I went over this rather hurriedly, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Now, I believe that has reference to his coming to the earth. Now, when he comes in the rapture, actually what happens is the church is caught up. The believers, living and dead, are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, they don't come on to the earth then. They go back to the place where the Lord Jesus has prepared for the church. He says that, I'm going to take you to be with me. Now, the world enters the great tribulation. At the end of that period, he comes in glory and judgment to the earth. Now, at the rapture, he does not judge the earth at all. 1 Thessalonians 4 made it clear. The Lord, in the 14th chapter of John, made it clear. And Paul again and again, and I think you have it in the message to the churches in Revelation. He's not coming to the earth in judgment at that time, but he comes at the end of the Great Tribulation period. And this chapter now makes that clear, so that what you have in verse 10 there is now the mention of his coming to the earth, because we saw last time he's coming in judgment, and the great subject of hell came before us, and we dealt with that. Now, we deal here in chapter 2, and I begin. He says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now, the reference here is to our gathering together unto him. And this aspect of the coming is the rapture of the church. The emphasis here is upon our gathering together to him. There's not judgment at that time. Now, the reason he mentions that is verse 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, if you will consult any good Bible with notes, you will find a note at the side, even if it's not already the change made. It's not the day of Christ, but it's the day of the Lord is at hand. Now, we've already dealt with that. The day of the Lord has no reference to the church. The thing that happens at the rapture, the day of Christ or the age of grace ends. That is the calling out of the church. And the church is caught up to meet him. Now there begins the day of the Lord. And we've seen that's a subject of the Old Testament, whereas the rapture is not. And what happens is it begins with night. The day of the Lord, Joel says, is not light, it's darkness. It's a time of judgment. And it opens like that because the Hebrew day, and in Genesis 1, the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, evidently, someone had circulated a letter or an oral word, nor by word or by letter, or somebody said they had a communication from the Lord, specially. It's interesting. We've always had a group of people that seem to get direct information from the Lord. May I say they don't study the Word of God. They want to get it direct. It's much easier just to have a telephone conversation and get it that way rather than go to school or take up the Bible and study it. So there was circulating in Thessalonica a word that had come to them. And there was some saying that it was a special revelation, something Brother Paul didn't tell you. That's always interesting. These super-duper saints get something that nobody else gets. And there were those there, nor by word, that is, this was a word of mouth, nor by letter, and there apparently was a spurious letter circulating, or at least somebody said they had it, and I have a notion no one had really seen it, that it was from us, that is, from Paul and Timothy and Silas, as that the day of the Lord is at hand. Now, this had caused a problem with the Thessalonian believers, and you can see why. They were in persecution. They were having trouble. And it was very easy for somebody to say, well, this is the great tribulation period that you're in. The day of the Lord has come, and we are already in it. Now, the Word of God mentions the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord, it begins, friends, with judgment. And that's the reason I think that Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he quoted from Joel. And he says, this is that. He says to those that were listening, they knew that there was a day coming in the future when the Spirit of God would be poured out. But it was going to be the day of the Lord. In verse 20 of Acts 2, he says, at that time the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And certainly that hadn't happened at Pentecost. At the crucifixion of Christ, why, there had been an earthquake and there was darkness. But now on the day of Pentecost, there was nothing like that at all. There was a rushing sound like a mighty wind, and it sat upon them as fire. There was no wind, but it sounded like a hurricane that had hit the town, and it caused everybody to rush up to the temple area to see what had happened. Now, Peter calls that, quoting Joel, that's the day of the Lord. Now, the day of the Lord is a time of judgment, begins like that, and all that Peter is saying is, that this is that. This is similar to that. You think these men are drunk? Well, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And there is a day coming. The Orthodox Jew in that day believed there was a day coming when God would pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And on the day of Pentecost, wasn't poured out on all flesh. I think that ought to be obvious to anyone. Then we find that Peter mentions the day of the Lord, 2 Peter 3:10. He says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And we saw that in 1 Thessalonians 5, that he'll not come as a thief in the night. He says he won't come as a thief in the night to believers. Therefore, we have to stay awake. This is not the time to sleep, because he will come to a sleepy world like that, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now, that has not happened, did not happen on the day of Pentecost. Let me give one other reference to this. It's in Revelation 6, verse 17. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, that's not for the church. The church is to look for Him, a person to come. We're identified with Him. Now, Paul goes on in verse 3, and will you follow me very carefully? Let no man deceive you by any means. And let's don't be deceived today. Let's listen to Paul. For that day shall not come. What day? The day of the Lord. Not the rapture, but the day of the Lord shall not come except there come a falling away first, that's number one, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now you have these two here. You have two things that have to take place before the day of the Lord can begin, and neither one of them has taken place yet. The first one that will take place, there must come a falling away first. Now, there have been those that look at this as the apostasy. And the very interesting thing is that I think it refers to that, but it means more than that, because the word means more than that. This falling away first, it's the translation of apostasia, and that comes from a root word, apostasis, which actually means departure or removal from. And the verb means to remove. There must come a removing. Now, there are two kinds of removings that are going to take place. One is they will depart from the faith. Now, that's apostasy. But that can't take place until the true church is removed, because there will be total apostasy when the Lord comes. Because he says, when the Son of Man comes, and that means to the earth, will he find the faith, that is, the body of truth that he left here? No, the answer is no, he won't find it. There'll be total apostasy. Why? Because of two things. The organization has departed from the faith. It's apostatized, but there's been another departure, and that is the departure of the true church. The departure of the true church leads to the other, you see. Now, in other words, the day of the Lord can't come, and that also means that the great tribulation can't begin, the man of sin can't appear, until what? Until there is the departure, the removal of the church, the departure of the church from the earth. And this is what he's already enlarged upon in the first epistle. He's not going over here, because here he's emphasizing the day of the Lord, and he's already told them about the departure. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven, shout, voice of archangel, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then those that are alive, this is for those that are in Christ, that's the church caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, that's a departure. That's what he's talking about. Now, some are going to depart from the faith. The organization is left down here, and we see it as a great harlot in the 17th chapter of Revelation. And it gets worse, the organization does. The Laodicean church is in sad condition. I think we're in that particular period today. Now, it will finally end in total apostasy. Now, we find here the departure of the church from the earth. Now, from the viewpoint of the earth, it's a departure. From the viewpoint of heaven, it's a rapture, you see, caught up. You're looking at it from heaven when you say that, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Here, you're looking at it from the earth. Now, I think the world's going to say at that time, boy, they're gone. That fellow McGee that is on radio that was such a nuisance, he's gone. He's departed. He's left. And I'm going to say hallelujah, but the world will rejoice, but it's going to be a sad day for the earth. They think they're entering the millennium, and they're entering the great tribulation period, and it's going to be rough on them. They won't know what it is, but it's going to be rough. The church will have gone. I think it'll be a sad day. May I illustrate what I'm talking about here? Some time ago, Ms. McGee and I were at the Los Angeles airport a little early. We were taking a morning flight to Florida at that time. And we were waiting. We always get there early, generally have breakfast. And so I was walking around in that particular area, and there's a great big 747 plane that was getting ready to go to the Hawaiian Islands, and I'd love to have gotten on that one too, by the way, but you can't go on two planes at the same time. But the thing that interests me is I walked into that area where they were waiting to board the plane. There sat there a young soldier boy, fine-looking young fella, and by him, a prettiest little girl you've ever seen, and they had a little baby that was just out of this world. And I thought, what a fine-looking family it was. But they were sad-looking. They weren't saying anything. All sitting there, and the little fella, he was just having the biggest time, though, just gurgling and carrying on. But in a few moments, why, the plane was called, and they stood up, this couple. And this soldier boy, great big fella, just put his arms around that little wife and that baby, and they all began to weep, that is, except the baby, and he's just laughing like mad. But these two are just weeping, you know. He's going back, apparently, going back to some foreign soil. And so he went and picked up that bag he had and walked out through the gate and disappeared. But he turned around and waved at her. And she stood there and tears coming down her eyes. And she went over and watched the plane as it pulled out and then as it took off. And then I watched her holding that little baby walking away. It'd been a departure. It was an apostasia. That's what it was, an apostasia. Histomy means to stand, apo to stand away from, and it means literally to remove. He'd removed himself. At least the government had removed him, the Marine Corps had, and he's gone. That plane took off. And I saw her gather up that little fella and walk down, you know, and get on the escalator, going out probably to get in a car and leave. My heart went out to her. It's going to be hard for her, friends. Going to be hard for her. But the world, you know, is going to rejoice when the church leaves, but it's going to be rough. They're going to enter the great tribulation period. And Paul says here, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. There'll be an apostasy of the church. But the true church is going to leave, you see. The true church, you can't have a total apostasy as long as there are believers down here. And the liberals would like to get rid of us. They are one of these days. And then the second thing, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. When he's revealed, you're in the great tribulation period. Now, he's called here the man of sin. He's called the Antichrist by John. John's the only one who uses that term, by the way. He has about 30 different titles in the Bible. He's a subject of the Old Testament. He is going to be Satan's man. I'm going to talk about this when we get to 1 John and Revelation in detail. But let me say here, this is the man that first will put the Roman Empire back together again. And then he's going to become finally a world dictator. And he's going to deceive the world. But he can't appear, that is, in power. He could be in our midst today, but he won't be able to come to power and reveal who he is until you get in the great tribulation period. Now we are told concerning him who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that's called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, one of the things that he's going to claim, of course, is that he is God. Now, we'll have to hold this till we get to the 13th chapter of Revelation. But there we find that the beast out of the sea, that's going to be the Antichrist heading up first, bringing together Western Europe as we know it today. And he'll put it back together again. And when he does, he's going to show himself as God. And the world will think he's Christ. I think that's the big lie here. Now he says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Paul didn't mind talking about these things. And they say, well, preachers shouldn't dwell on these things. Well, Paul did. Paul says, when I was with you, I told you about them. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Well, what can withhold evil in the world? Well, the only one I know of is the Holy Spirit. Actually, government can't do it today. They're not doing it. The Roman Empire actually didn't do it. They were an evil force themselves. Now he goes on to say in verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity, and that is lawlessness, and believe me, we got that today, and I think it'll increase, but this is the period, believe me, it's going to break out. For the mystery of lawlessness doth already work, only he who now hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way. Now, when's he taken out? He'll be taken out with the church. Now, somebody says, won't the Holy Spirit be in the world during the Great Tribulation? Yes. Wasn't he in the world before Pentecost? He sure was. He's back in the Old Testament, but on a different mission. Now, he'll be on a different mission after the church is removed because the Spirit of God's going to present us, and we're sealed until the day of redemption. He has to deliver us to the Lord Jesus. If he didn't, we wouldn't make it, and he'll deliver us. And when he does, then he comes back to the earth, I think, to resume his former mission down here and former office. But he won't hinder evil. He's going to let the devil have it for a while. And believe me, I don't want to be here when the devil has it. It looks like he's got it today, and that to me is bad enough. I don't want to be here when it's turned over to him. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. He'll be a world dictator, Antichrist will, the man of sin, and nobody can stop him, no power on earth, only the coming of Christ. Just as God's people were in Egypt and nobody could deliver them. They were hopeless and helpless, but God delivered them, and that is a picture of what it'll be when the Lord Jesus comes to the earth to establish his kingdom. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with power and signs and lying wonders. May I say to you that this is the only miracle worker that is predicted today. And I'm always afraid when somebody tells me somebody's performing miracles because they haven't come from heaven. The next one is coming from the devil. The devil will send him, and he'll do it with power and signs and lying wonders. How do we walk today? We walk by faith. Let's get our eyes off of man. Get them on Christ and walk by faith today. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Are you walking by faith? As Dr. McGee mentioned, if your eyes are on the people around you, you're eventually going to be disappointed. But when you put your trust and faith in Jesus, he'll never let you down. Find out how you can follow Jesus at ttb.org by searching for How to Know God or call 1-800-65-BIBLE and request a couple of free resources by Dr. McGee that describe the free gift of salvation that's found in Jesus Christ. Again, these items are our gift to anyone who downloads them over at ttb.org. If you'd rather we send them to you by mail, just give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And if God has used this program to help you understand his word, would you let us know that? Emailing us is pretty simple. You can send it to BibleBus@ttb.org. We love receiving letters like this one from Trudy. This program builds my faith and teaches me to center my prayers on others instead of myself. I have listened to the Bible Bus whenever I am able for many years. Each message is such an inspiration and fresh because it is the truth from the Bible, not man's interpretation. God bless the work you are doing. Thank you for your encouragement. Well, thanks for your letter, Trudy. We praise God for his work in your life and the lives of our fellow listeners around the world. So, what's your story? Would you tell us how God is changing and challenging you? Again, our email address is BibleBus@ttb.org or mail your note to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Our quick study in 2 Thessalonians ends soon, and we return to the Old Testament and the prophetic books of Jeremiah and Lamentations. Do you have a copy of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines? You can get them for our entire 5-year journey at ttb.org and by searching for Briefing the Bible. Or if you'd rather download the individual notes and outlines for Jeremiah and Lamentations, you can do that too. You can have an abridged paperback copy of Briefing the Bible sent to you by mail. Just request it over at ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, a quick note for our app listeners. You've already got those notes and outlines for you. They're over on the menu tab, and you can see them very easily. They're in PDF form. You can print them out. You can view them. However you want to use them, they're available for you. And if you're new to the Bible Bus, the notes and outlines that we're talking about have got important background information, such as the author, the date, major themes of each book that we study, and we think it really helps give an overall understanding of what we're studying. Again, the quickest way to get them is to go online. Just type in ttb.org/briefingthebible. Now, join us next time for more important information about the end times with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll save you a seat on the Bible Bus for next time.
Jesus made it all, all to be my own. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world. And we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's Word go today?
Hi, fishing enthusiasts. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless.
Thank you.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To all our faith partners and radio listeners, you know, we are the church in the city with the city in our hearts. I am Minister Gloria Ross from New Life Assembly of God, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. And the church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church services are every Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m. sharp. Come and be blessed of the Lord. Now, here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord out there. We just thank the Lord each and every day for the opportunity that he's given us, that we will have a platform to minister at this level to those that have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches in these last hours. There's so much that's going on, as those that have spiritual ears and eyes to see what is taking place, we all must come to the final conclusion that we must be ready to receive our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The expectancy of a child of God is that every day, when God gives you a new lease on life in terms of the opportunity of waking you up, allowing you to see another day, I want to tell you that we should give him praise.
Amen.
And we should say, Lord, I thank you so much, because yesterday is gone and tomorrow is not promised, but you allowed us to wake up this morning to glorify you. So we want to look at what the Word of God tells us, because as a child of God, we are overcomers, and God has blessed us with that power that we can overcome all of the different obstacles that come our way. There are unseen enemies out there that is trying to discourage and perhaps cause havoc and keep you from serving the true and living God. But I want to tell you today that we are overcomers. And when I say we are overcomers, I'm speaking precisely concerning the body of Christ, those that are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, those that have given their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ and thanking him for everything that he has done. Because what is happening is that it's all because of who he is. And the Word of God tells us, as he was in this world, so are we. So we have this power to be overcomers regardless of the circumstances or situations that develop in our lives. God is with us, and the power of the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us that gives us the strength. As the Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. My strength and ability comes from the inner one, the one that has taken up resident on the inside of me. Praise God. So we want to thank him today. And there may be people out there in Radio Land that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, but I want to tell you today, you can know him. I said you can know him by his Spirit. Putting your faith in Jesus and only Jesus. Forget about the name of the church over the door. Or just realize that Jesus Christ is the risen Savior and he is the ascended Lord, and our faith must be in him. Now, we want to look at what the Word of God says, because I said that we are overcomers. What has gotten into your way that's trying to hinder you or keep you from serving God, keep you from being obedient to the Word of God? Well, I want to tell you that you are an overcomer. And the Word of God tells us that. In the book of Revelation, the third chapter, I want you to see this whole idea of what Jesus is saying, because a lot of things that have taken place, many people are falling victim to it. You don't have to. You have the power of the Holy Spirit that's operating on the inside of you if you truly are born again. There are many people who say, well, I'm born again, but yet they allow these obstacles to beset them. And that's something that should not be. Jesus said that he that overcometh, will I grant him to sit with me in my throne, or on my throne, even as I have overcame and sat with my Father in his throne. Now, that's powerful, because what's happening is that Jesus is talking about overcomers. Listen to what he said. He that overcomes, you got to be an overcomer. Listen to what I'm saying out there in radio land. You have to be an overcomer. You cannot fall on the wayside. You cannot allow the obstacles to hinder you or keep you from serving God Almighty. Your faith is in him. He's given you the power to walk this Christian journey, to be able to do exactly what he said as a child of God, members of the body of Christ. But he said, he that overcomes. Hear what I'm saying. Now, he's speaking to these churches, but he's talking to you as well. As an overcomer. And Mr. Glory, when we look at Revelation, he talks about overcomers to these churches. You know? So, in Revelation 3, and you want to read verse 12, where it talks about that he said, if you overcome, he'll make you a pillar. A pillar is part of a foundation, glory to God, that's in the body. So, Minister Glory, would you read that?
He says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God.
Praise God.
And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem.
Praise God. And also, as an overcomer, which we all should be gravitating toward that position because of our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we should be moving in that direction as an overcomer. Now, let me tell you something. In Revelation 21 and verse 7, the Word of God tells us that he that overcomes, and we're talking about overcomers today, praise God. We're talking about overcoming the different obstacles that develop in your life, because the enemy is not going to allow you to walk around and to carry a Bible and talk about the things of God without putting things in your way to test you, try you.
Amen.
To keep you from believing what the Word of God says. So, Mrs. Gloria, in Revelation 21 and verse 7,
it says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things.
Now, listen to what it's saying here. He that overcomes shall inherit all things.
And I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Let me tell you something. We all are overcomers. We are overcomers in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he overcame the world, the obstacles, and everything that was before him. And therefore, we are in him, and he is in us, and therefore, we are overcomers. He overcame. Praise God. And we are overcomers. Glory to God. The Bible tells us that, in Romans, Apostle Paul was writing to the church of Rome, and he told the church of Rome there in Romans 8 and verse 37, he says that we are more than conquerors through him that love us.
Amen.
So we are overcomers. And I want to tell you today out there in Radio Land that your trust and your hope and your faith and your confidence and everything that you desire to do for the Lord comes only from the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not about exercising your external energy, which is of the flesh, to try to accomplish something for God. God says he's looking for overcomers. He wants folks that are overcomers, and he's going to make a pillar in the temple of his God. He's going to grant us to sit with him on his throne, even as we overcame and he overcame, and sit with him in his throne. I want to tell you, he's talking about overcomers. My God, pray out there in Radio Land that the strength that we would have as children of God is to overcome every obstacle that the unseen enemy, the forces of darkness, will try to place in all of our ways, that we will be overcomers. Praise God. Because God has given us the ability and the strength. And the enemy, the unseen enemy, is trying to discourage you. He's trying to keep you from believing what God has said that you are. I believe what God says that I am, regardless of the circumstances or the situation that developed. Jesus said that I'm an overcomer. Jesus said that I am more than a conqueror through him that love him, and he has given us his strength and ability to do it. I believe that. I believe every word that he says. So the unseen enemy, the one that is walking about, seeking, because he doesn't have the capability of trying to stop everybody, he has to seek who he's able to discourage and to perhaps try to keep you from accomplishing the purpose in which God wants you to accomplish. He walks about as a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. He walks about, and he's seeking. So if he was able to do it, he wouldn't have to seek. He would just go ahead on and do it. But since he has to seek, he's seeking those that are weak in faith, that don't believe what God said to us in his word, that we are more than conquerors, that we are overcomers. If we continue to pray and thank God for what he said in his word, then we can overcome every obstacle that is brought forth in our pathway. We must believe what God said.
Amen.
And do what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Not just believe, but we must put action to what we believe.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Overcomers. Are you an overcomer today? Are you have things that have developed in your life and you're trying to overcome them in your own strength or ability? It won't work. The call is that we trust the Lord and everything that he said and allow him to work in and through us. giving us the inner ability so that we can overcome the external obstacles and things that will come, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Praise God. And the Bible tells us there in 1 John verse 4 that we are everyone that's born of God. And somebody out there in radio land should say, well, if I'm an overcomer, I'm born of God. I overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Praise God. That's why the word of God says in Revelation 21 and verse 7, said that he that overcomes inherit all things. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything is available to him, and that's the inheritance that he has as an overcomer. And then God says, I'll be his God, mm-hmm. and he shall be my sons and daughters. Isn't that something?
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise mm-hmm. God. Overcomers. You know, and I want to say something else, too, because the Bible tells us that he that overcomes, that God will not blot his name out of the book of life. Mm-hmm. You remember reading that in the book of Revelation? Mm-hmm. Not blot his name out of the book of life. So that means that your name can be blotted out. Mm-hmm. But he said he won't do it if you're an overcomer. We should, as children of God, gravitate toward overcoming obstacles each and every day. There are things that are setting our pathways every day. But as an overcomer, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as one that has received him and allowed him to chart out the course that we should be walking as children of God, we have this victory. And it cannot be stopped because of who we are in him. I am an overcomer.
Praise God.
Praise God. And you are an overcomer.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. And you are walking in the victory in which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has overcome.
That's what he said.
The word tells us that he overcame the world.
That's right.
And if he overcame it, and we are in him, we are overcomers as well. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We thank the Lord for that. Praise God.
Because in 1 Corinthians 15 and 57 says, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
You see, many people say, well, I'm trying to get the victory. No, as an overcomer, you have the victory already. You're not trying to get it. You are continuing to maintain this victory. And that's why the word of God tells us.
Right. But now in 58,
yes.
It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, also be steadfast.
Yes.
Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. We are more than conquerors. We are overcomers. And I tell you, every morning, as our God wakes us up and allows us to see the new day with new mercies, we give thanks unto him for being an overcomer.
Amen.
Praise God. In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
That's
where our faith is, in him and only him.
Yes, that's where the faith lies, within our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're not trying to accomplish anything of our own with our ability.
No.
It's only through Christ.
Amen.
He is the one that has done everything.
Yes.
That's why we lift him up. Praise God. We lift Jesus up. We pray and thank the Lord for the victory that he has won.
Yes, at the cross of Calvary.
Everything
done at the cross
was done at the cross.
Amen.
And this is where we have the victory.
Mm-hmm.
This is where victorious living comes. It's not because of who I am, but it's because of who he is.
Hallelujah.
That I'm in. Praise God. And many people need to understand this today, that as an overcomer, what are we able to do other than have everything that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us? That's why Paul, John was writing to these churches there in the book of Revelation. And he was telling them, you're an overcomer. Mm-hmm. And you can overcome all these things that try to beset you. And when we read that, he's speaking to the churches. We are the church today, praise God. So he's speaking to us as well, that we are overcomers. And if you want to walk in the things of God, be blessed of the Lord, and receive all of the inheritance that God has for us, we must be overcomers.
Amen.
We must be overcomers, praise God. And that's why the inheritance is all overcomers. That's what the word says.
And Pastor, you did mention about blotting out the name of the book. In Revelation 3 and 5, it says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment.
Yes.
And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life.
Wait a minute. Say that again. In Revelation 3 and verse 5.
He that overcometh,
yes,
the same shall be clothed in white raiment.
Okay, so overcomers will be clothed in white raiment. White raiment dictates
righteousness,
holiness,
yes,
and righteousness.
Amen.
And he said, and he will not blot out
his name out of the book of life.
Out of the book of life. So we must be an overcomer. We have to, in order for our names to be maintained in the book of life and to walk in holiness and righteousness with white raiment. Now, I think if we look at that verse of scripture there with clear eyes and spiritual understanding, we can see that it says that he that overcomes, I will not blot his name out of the book of life. That's what it says?
That's what it says.
But he will be clothed with what?
White raiment.
White raiment. And what else?
And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angel.
Ooh, glory to God. And I will confess him before my Father. What a powerful, powerful verse of scripture. Praise God. We should meditate on that. Meditate on that verse of scripture. Now, we understand that the word of God is telling us, because this is a period of time where John was speaking to the churches. He was speaking to the churches. And what happened is that, speaking to the churches, we have to understand that in order to walk in victory, in order to accomplish the purpose in which God wants us to have, praise God, that we must be an overcomer. It never said anything about being lethargic. Doesn't say anything about being self-righteous. Doesn't say anything about us doing what we want to do. No, an overcomer. And what we have to keep in mind is that who is the one that overcame the world? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are in him. And therefore, we are to walk as overcomers. A lot of times when things come our way and try to discourage us, the unseen enemy, the one that we can't see with our natural eyes, what happens is that he's moving, walking about, and all of his cohorts and all these imps and everything that's operating on his behalf try to discourage us, mm-hmm, try to keep us from serving God. But I want to tell you, we are overcomers.
Amen.
Regardless of the circumstance.
Amen.
Jesus, that's why we call on his name. He is an overcomer. He overcame the world. You know, that verse of scripture is very powerful, mm-hmm, concerning being an overcomer. But I like that Revelation 3 and verse 5. Because a lot of people say, well, If I'm already saved. Well, listen, if you're already saved, then you're walking as an overcomer. Mm-hmm. What does overcome really mean? It means that you overcome all the obstacles and the things that would try to beset you, the discouragement and the lies and the deceptions that the enemy will try and speak into your mind. Yep. You are an overcomer.
That's right.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
The lies that are spoken cannot befall you.
That's right.
You're walking as an overcomer.
Mm-hmm.
You've given victory. You've been given victory by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I tell you today that you have a lot of stuff that's going on that's not of God, distractions that's trying to take your attention away. And when you divert your attention to something other than what Christ has done, then you lose a lot of strength and ability, because what happened is that our eyes must be on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us as an overcomer.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
I want to leave all the listeners out there in Radio Land with this verse of scripture that is very powerful in Revelation 3 and verse 5. And I want Minister Glory to read that again, because this is a verse of scripture that we all should be meditating on a daily basis.
He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life.
And I will not blot his name out of the book of life. That's overcomer, clothed in white raiment.
But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
Praise God, praise God. And I want to tell you, in Revelation 21 and 7, as the overcomer that we talk about here this morning, he shall inherit all things.
Amen.
And God said, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my sons and daughters. Well, listen, time has slipped away. Mm-hmm. We have 30 seconds, and therefore, that we can just tell everybody about the goodness of Jesus and receive him today, because time is very, very short.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
God bless you all out there in Radio Land. Remember, look at your garments from a spiritual standpoint and see whether they are white raiment or you have stain in your garments. God bless you. Until the next broadcast is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach. Thank you.